We're talking about the economy of social media influencers and the rise of the so-called creator marketplace. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the venture capital firm Signalfire, it's estimated there are more than 50 million creators worldwide. Other descriptors for people in this space: independent content creators, curators, community builders, bloggers, videographers. Are you on TikTok, on Instagram, or YouTube? How much do you pay attention to the paid influencers and the products they promote on these platforms? Are you familiar with the hashtag TikTok made me buy it? What have you wondered about how influencers get started, get paid? 800-642-1234. Mae Karwowski is founder and CEO of the marketing agency Obviously, which works exclusively with social media influencers, pairing them with brands to promote their products. Mae, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's get on the same page here. Explain in your own words what social media influencers are.
Sure. So influencers are people who, just like you and me, who have downloaded an app like Instagram or on YouTube or on TikTok, and they've started creating content, and then they have just amassed an audience organically. So people love what they're talking about. They love tuning into them. They love following along with the content that they create, usually daily or weekly. And they now have this large audience of people who are tuned in, who really care about what they're talking about. And then the question becomes, okay, like, what do I do with this audience?
And when you say a large audience of people, there are those mega influencers and then micro or nano influencers with a much smaller following. Give us a sense of what this audience is like.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're a nano influencer, and I think a lot of people are surprised by how relatively small an audience can be, where you can already start working with brands and really kind of turn this into a career or a side project. But a nano influencer can have, you know, a few thousand followers. A micro influencer can usually have around between 10,000 and 100,000 followers. It's a little bit dependent on the platform. And then, yeah, you could be a macro influencer and have hundreds of thousands to millions of followers. And as you get larger and larger, just the opportunities continue to grow and grow.
Well, putting some dollar figures on this, it's really turned into big business for some of these mega influencers. Seven top influencers on TikTok collectively made more than $55 million last year, according to this Wall Street Journal piece. What is happening there?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you have Charlie D'Amelio and her sister Dixie topping the list, and Charlie herself made over $17 million last year, and she has over 130 million followers on TikTok. She's the most followed person on TikTok. And I mean, to put that in perspective, that's around a third of the population of the United States. So her audience is just so massive, and people really tune in and care about what she's talking about. So she can really command very large prices when she works with brands. She's launched her own brands. She has a TV show on Hulu. There's just a lot of things that these two sisters are doing, and it's clearly very profitable.
So it's clearly a spinoff. There's a lot of spinoffs too that have been really monetizing, have been very much money making for her, at least.
Definitely. So once a influencer really starts to amass a following, you can pretty quickly start to work with brands. And actually, like, my company Obviously does this all the time, pairing very large brands with influencers, making sure it's the right fit. And you can start doing that even when you have a few thousand followers, you know, maybe make $100 or a few hundred dollars per post. And then as you get bigger and bigger, the opportunities get even larger. So you can, you know, be paid to go to events. You can be paid to become the face of a brand. You can become an actor, you know, you can become a musician, you can become the founder of your own company. And so there are just so many different options here once you really grow a large audience.
What makes an influencer the right fit for a brand? How can you wed that? Where do you see connection and synergy?
So there are a lot of things that we look at. One is, who makes up their audience? And is this group of people the target audience of that brand? You know, so say we're working with Ulta Beauty and they want to reach, 25 to 35 year olds who live in a certain part of the country. We'll then look at influencers who, that's their audience. That's who they're reaching. And then we'll pair up a large number of those influencers with that brand. Some other things we look at are, you know, and I think probably the most important thing is, does this influencer genuinely really love the brand? Because I think we've all seen, you know, influencer marketing where, okay, that person, like that doesn't really fit. That looks kind of weird. That person doesn't really like that brand that much.
Or it's not sincere, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and followers and audience members are really, really savvy at this point, and they'll call that out. So it's very important that it's, you know, a true match where the influencer is so excited to work with this brand and the brand is like, couldn't be more excited to partner with that person. And then we also look at aesthetics and, you know, does this person's general style really vibe with what the brand is and what the brand is looking for? And so those are kind of the three things that we look for.
We're talking with Mae Karwowski, who is CEO and founder of a marketing firm which works exclusively with social media influencers. And we're looking at this space. Are you on TikTok or on YouTube? How much do you pay attention to the paid influencers and the products they promote on platforms like this? 800-642-1234. I would assume that this creatorship space, if you will, has been seen a big boom with the pandemic as users spend more time online in these apps and they consume more content. Are you seeing that more people are calling themselves content creators than before the Great Resignation?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I started obviously about 8 years ago and the term influencer was still very new. I think now you see people calling themselves content creators and influencers, you know, to the tune of 50 million people worldwide, which is just so awesome that there are so many people who are really looking at this for, you know, a way, a career and a creative outlet. And it's just seen a huge boom, especially since the pandemic. You know, I think the average now of hours spent on social media is over 3 hours per person, you know, in the United States alone. And people are spending a lot more time on social media. They're watching less TV. It's really just been a huge boom.
What are the protections for creators? If a creator signs a non-disclosure agreement with a brand, but maybe the brand doesn't pay them what they pay another creator, or there aren't protections for if the brand doesn't pay them within a certain amount of time, what protections are there for this group of people?
So yeah, it is still a little bit like the wild, wild west. You know, it's now, you know, a $15 to $25 billion industry, and it was around $1 billion only a few years ago. So much money is flooding into the space, and there are so many creators. It's really important that creators are protected. And I think that is a big reason why a lot of brands do work with agencies like mine, where just making sure that everything's above the board. It's a really great experience for everyone. And one thing that creators do have in terms of leverage is that they do have a really active, engaged audience. And if they tell their audience, hey, I had a really bad experience with this brand, which has definitely happened, and I've seen happen many times, they now have a group of people who are getting really upset about it. So there's, you know, there's power on both sides in this dynamic, which makes it pretty interesting.
Oh, so the leverage can come with the followers themselves if that influencer speaks out.
Right, definitely. So influencers have more power than I would say, like, you know, an average customer who just had a bad experience and is writing, you know, a Google review of a business. They can actually be vocal about their negative experience, which is why it's so important and the space is so new that brands really know what they're doing and make sure that, you know, it's just a great, really positive experience on all sides.
Mae Karwowski founded a social media influencer marketing agency. How much sway do celebrities and experts have with you when it comes to buying products they're promoting? When have you purchased something because of an online endorsement? Do you hope to become an influencer or land a brand sponsorship? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mae Karwowski here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing social media influencers and the world of creators monetizing their content, some of the highest making millions. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Vox article put it this way. Influencers are, ultimately, digital islands competing for our attention. Do you have the chops? Are you a gifted storyteller? Do you think you could be an influencer? What questions do you have about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, or the financial aspect of this? 800-642-1234. Mae Karwowski runs a social media influencer marketing firm. She's with us for the hour. And Chelsea Knuth is a travel blogger and influencer in Milwaukee, been posting her travel adventures around the Midwest and Wisconsin since 2018, and find her on Facebook and Instagram at The Wisconsinista. Chelsea, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so you're a part-time influencer documenting your travels. You have about 13,000 followers, I see, on Instagram. What are examples of the paid social media influencer work you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So being in the travel sphere, I work with both destinations and regional brands, Wisconsin-based brands, Midwest-based brands. So I worked with companies like Quick Trip and Culver's to promote their brand in Wisconsin's culture, specific products and offerings they have, as well as different destinations. So I worked with state-level tourism boards, the Iowa Tourism Board. I worked with local Wisconsin convention and visitors bureaus like in Rhineland or up north. So all sorts of different travel industry brands like that.
How do they find you? How do you make these connections?
Yeah, oftentimes they reach out to me via email. I try to have my contact information very accessible on my social media accounts. But most importantly, it's just marketing myself and, you know, by having valuable content and sharing information that, you know, is going out to lots of people. I try to be really effective with SEO and hashtag research and things like that. The more people are able to find you in general, the more people who are working for those PR companies who are looking for influencers in your area or of your, you know, industry, like being a travel blogger, are able to find you.
So you're talking there about SEO, a search engine optimization. So you're really looking at how even people will find you with, you know, and follow you, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And I don't run an official blog website. A lot of people who are social media influencers will do both. But without that, I really have to use my social media accounts to rank on those same platforms and to be searchable in the way that people who have both a website and a social media account might have twice the opportunity to do. So really being strategic. And the key way to do that is really just to make sure that the content that I have is helpful to people, that I'm putting right in the headlines what it is this content is it a travel guide, where is it for, so that people know how it helps them. And, you know, if they're searching for it, it comes up for them.
So, Mae, how common is Chelsea's way of working with clients? How common is Chelsea's on-ramp here?
Yeah, so Chelsea, you're doing a great job. and I think that you're being really strategic and smart around, you know, hey, am I using the right hashtags? Am I really being easy to find? Can people have my contact information like front and center and just know how to get a hold of me? And I think, you know, the biggest thing is, hey, is my content really great? And am I talking about travel in Wisconsin, you know, in the right way that's really going to attract brands because they just like what I'm doing. I think this is definitely the right strategy for growth.
Chelsea, how do you then work with your clients to create the content? Because this is a very creative space, but you also probably have to work within the confines of what your client wants and expects. How do you navigate that?
Absolutely. And there's so much correspondence that happens before, during, even after the partnership takes place. And so my main concern is kind of addressing the needs of their campaign. So what the messaging is, what their goal is. Sometimes a brand is just trying to raise awareness amongst a Wisconsin audience who might not have a lot of brand familiarity. Other times it's taking an audience who knows them and sharing a new product, or taking a destination they're familiar with and sharing what there is to do, maybe in a season that's not so popular to visit. So that is something we always discuss ahead of time. And that way I can make sure the messaging and the actual content I create reflects that to the best of my ability. So I really want to make sure that all of the messaging that they are trying to convey is exactly what I'm able to put out in the content.
We're talking with Chelsea Knuth, who's a social media influencer in Milwaukee, posting her travel adventures in the Midwest, and May Karwowski, CEO of an influencer marketing firm, taking your questions, 800-642-1234. John is joining us in Racine. John, hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What is your story?
Okay, I'm not a social influencer. Matter of fact, I really don't deal with social media. I'm a part of the older generation, and we generally don't get involved with the new technologies and the social networks and the like. But my granddaughter, she's 16, and she's on several of the social medias. And I was just wondering, it sounds like a good opportunity to establish yourself and be successful by being an influencer. And I don't know what her network is like, but I know she communicates with a lot of people. And I was just wondering if there's some information or maybe a number or something that I could call Meg or somebody to get some guidance.
How you could become more educated about what your granddaughter is doing and where it might be going. May, what would you say there to John?
Yeah. Hi, John. I think there are a lot of good resources online. Influencermarketinghub.com is great. Also, yeah, you can get in touch with me at M-A-E-W-O-W on Instagram or Twitter.
Chelsea, what made you decide that you wanted to become an influencer?
Absolutely. So it stemmed from me growing up in Wisconsin my entire life and not seeing Wisconsin and the Midwest in general being represented in destination marketing as much as some other parts of the country. And that was true in the social media sphere as well. So I felt really passionate about getting involved in that dialogue, being an ambassador for Wisconsin and the Midwest, and just sharing content about this area that wasn't necessarily being shared. So creating this online community of Wisconsinites and making people feel proud to live here, explore their backyard, and at the same time attract new travelers to this part of the country.
And Chelsea, before we have to let you go, where do you hope your work as an influencer takes you in the future? Where do you want to see this go?
Oh, there are so many exciting opportunities ahead in the world of influencer marketing. And I think for me, it is just broadening my experience and getting more information about the Midwest. So being able to share more destinations in Wisconsin, around Wisconsin, and even beyond that in the Midwest to just be a greater resource and ambassador for this whole region.
Well, Chelsea, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Chelsea Knuth, a travel blogger and influencer in Milwaukee, goes by the Wisconsinista. May, it sounds like Chelsea is saying that there is a lot of growth potential here for her as she kind of gets her sea legs on what it means to be an influencer and what she really wants to focus on.
Definitely. So, I think Chelsea is a really good example of someone. She has 13,000 followers on Instagram. She has a clear niche. She knows what she wants to talk about. She clearly knows what she's passionate about, and she's looking to grow. And she's already working with some really fantastic, very well-known brands. So I think when you're doing that, when you have 13,000 followers and you're conversing with Target and Culver's and these huge companies, and you're talking to their marketing teams and working with them to create great content. It's really exciting. And it's really exciting if you're a really creative person who just wants to, keep creating.
I want to look at more of this monetizing issue, because more recently we've seen media platforms like YouTube channel membership have started building a way for creators to charge a subscription fee directly on their channels. What do you see happening there?
So I think that's a really great idea. Also, TikTok and Instagram came out last week with similar plans to really be able to create subscriptions. And this all plays into the trend that creators should be diversifying the ways that they're making revenue. And that just makes it so much easier to actually grow a career and make sustainable money in this field. So brand deals are fantastic, and you can really go far with working with brands. But it's really great if you have other revenue streams too. So if you can, you know, rely on your followers to pay a subscription fee, that's fantastic, because creating all this content takes a lot of time, work, and energy. And then there are other ways of making money too, from, you know, starting your own company to creating workbooks and online courses,
webinars.
So there are just so many options, and that's something that I always advise creators. It's like, hey, you should really think about diversifying early on in your career, so it's not something that you have to, you know, really try to pivot into later.
May Karwalski, CEO of an influencer marketing platform in New York. Do you have a friend or loved one, like John, someone in your social circle who is an influencer? What have you noticed about their videos, their blog posts, their other creative content? Do you feel like you're a world away from the digital natives who see being a creator the wave of the future? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up looking at influencers and this advertising approach right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the world of social media influencers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. They make big money on platforms like TikTok and YouTube, Instagram, but it mostly depends on followers and views. Creator marketplaces have popped up attempting to be matchmakers, if you will, connecting influencers with brands that might hire them. What do you wonder when you scroll through TikTok videos? What about Instagram or YouTube? Do you think about the nature of the content and who is getting paid? Join in. 800-642-1234. May Karwalski is CEO of an influencer marketing platform called Obviously and is with us for the hour. May, we heard from Ollie from Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Ollie said their social media circle isn't, or their social circle, excuse me, isn't really into social media, but some of their friends do donate to streamers on Twitch. How can influencers draw in people who otherwise aren't interested in social media?
Yes, you know, actually Twitch is a really, really great social media platform. And I think sometimes it's left out of the conversation, but there's a lot of activity happening there. And there are quite a few creators who are really making a substantial amount of money on that platform. So I don't want to forget about Twitch, but I would say, you know, the biggest thing, if your immediate social circle isn't on these platforms, is, you know, make sure that you're creating value with your content for people maybe who are not in your social circle. So I always recommend, when you're starting out, really think about a few different niches that you like to talk about, or one niche in particular, and one that you can really create a substantial amount of content in and day out. And then people will find you who really care about that niche. For example, you know, there are Microsoft Excel influencers on TikTok who are just show shortcuts. And a few of them are actually extremely successful in selling online classes and tips and tricks. I know there's one, Kat Norton, who's making, you know, probably $1 million this year doing so. And her name's Miss Excel. So that's just an example of, hey, here's a niche that, who knew that, you know, people would be so passionate about Excel, but there's a really active community there. And if you continue to talk about it and your content's great, those people are going to find you.
So creators become creators because they crush on something, because they love to create. But as they grow their audience and they expand that revenue, the burden of the business aspect, I would imagine, overshadows some of that creativity. What is the tension there?
So, you know, I think a big thing is just the consistency is really hard. I think even if you're not making much money, or even if you're not, you know, building a business empire, it's really hard to wake up every morning and be like, okay, what TikTok am I going to make today? What's going to be funny? What's going to be entertaining? What's going to be informative? You know, I challenge anyone who thinks that it's easy to be a creator to open a TikTok account and to post once a day with something that they're proud of. It's actually really, really hard to kind of keep that creative impulse. And then if you are really successful and you're great at that, it is important to build a support team around you. So we really consider, like, hey, you're building a business at this point if you're making, you know, over six figures. So do you have someone who can do video editing for you? Do you have someone who's helping you with styling, or an agent who's negotiating contracts with brands on your behalf? Just taking off some of the weight of all of these different pieces of being an influencer is important, because there's just a lot to do.
This reminds me that we recently talked with an influencer for the gas station chain Quick Trip, Cassandra Berger, and she said that after she had been posting videos about Quick Trip for some time, that they took notice. And so she presented their marketing department about the idea of her adopting the persona KT Girl, and then visiting all their hundreds of locations last year, and they went for it.
They supported me like with gas and like my hotel stays. If I had to stay somewhere, they'd give me apparel and gift cards and cash and just kind of whatever I needed to like support the journey.
So is Cassandra's, is this a kind of typical entry point for an influencer with these sorts of perks, like covering costs?
Yes. So brands are really looking for people who genuinely, like 100% often, authentically love their brand. So a big thing that we'll do when we're working with a brand is just to kind of survey the space. Who on TikTok's already talking about this brand? You know, we'll do this for a brand like Nike or, you know, the fast casual chain Panda Express. We'll look, hey, who already is posting about this brand? Who's creating content? Who clearly loves it already? We can see the content they're creating and see if it is a fit for the brand. And then also when the brand does approach them, they're really, really excited that they caught the eye of the brand they really like.
So I'm wondering then, what brands, what companies are doing this? I mean, we saw basketball star Michael Jordan released his first sneaker line with Nike in 85. This is, I would imagine, advertising coming a whole long way to be more of a grassroots approach. What are companies thinking about this today?
So this industry has just exploded. You know, a few years ago, we were working primarily with brands who were kind of on the forefront of marketing, the ones who were into experimenting with new platforms, new ideas, you know, the Nikes of the world, the Sephoras, the Ultas of the world, the people who are really spending and trying new things. But now we're working with everyone. I think every brand is really thinking about, if not already actively working with creators, they're at least thinking about, hey, how could this work for us? I mean, we actually have, you know, we have financial services companies that we work with. We have healthcare companies we work with. You know, we work with the State Tourism Board of Nebraska. So there's really just such a wide array of brands that are now thinking, hey, this could really work for me because this works for so many other industries and other brands.
We're talking with May Karwowski, who's CEO and founder of a marketing firm which works exclusively with social media influencers and with companies. You can join in. How much sway do you think influencers have? Do you have a favorite social media influencer? Who do you trust for product or service recommendations? What do you like about them when you watch their videos and their content? 800-642-1234. May, are there formulas that influencers rely on to come up with their rates for brands when the brand approaches them?
So there is a pretty wide swing in pricing, mainly because there are a lot of different factors that go into a contract. I would say for any influencer who's talking to a brand and really starting out in the space, a few important things to think about are, how much content am I creating for this brand? Do I own the rights to this content long-term, or does the brand? And is this a brand I really like and really want to work with and would be great for my portfolio going forward? And so I think when you factor into those different things, you know, there's just a very wide, you know, range of prices that people charge. It's pretty hard to pin down, and for each person it's pretty different depending on their niche.
I would imagine too, it comes back to how much effort and time does it take to create this content, and who else is helping me create it?
Definitely, yeah. So I mean, I think a good example of that is you know, you having a long form YouTube video is definitely, you know, much more expensive. You know, it could range, it pretty quickly gets up into the six figures when you're working, say, with a large influencer who has, you know, several hundred thousand to millions of followers. because they're creating sometimes like a 20-minute long video, and making sure that that's, you know, interesting, engaging, and is, you know, something that their audience is going to love takes a ton of time compared maybe to a static photo image that someone's posting on Instagram, which still takes a good deal of time, but not the multiple that a video would take.
Yes, still stylized, but certainly not like a 20-minute video.
Yeah, not going to discount the hard work there. That's still work.
Well, Nina from Colgate emailed us, and Nina is a mom of three children, and Nina is still learning how to navigate social media while trying to teach safe and responsible practices for the kids. How do influencers indicate that a post is paid for, Nina asks, and what signs in the content signal that a post might be compensated?
So I think it's really important to know the kind of what we always preach and what is really important whenever we're working with a brand and influencer is that you really need to disclose and you need to make it very apparent, because your audience could potentially, you know, turn on you or tune out if they feel like, you know, you've somehow been deceitful. So I always look for, one, did the person call out if it's a video, hey, I'm working with X brand, or hey, I'm partnering with this brand, or hey, this brand flew me to their hotel. That's important, just kind of as an organic part of the content itself. And then you're also looking for what is in the caption. So sometimes there'd be like hashtag partnered with X brand, or hashtag ad, or hashtag sponsored. But when talking to kids about this, there is a lot of, you know, influencer marketing that isn't as regulated. And so you should just kind of always have your, you know, always think and have a grain of salt, you know, in the way that you view people's feeds.
This could
be post, you know, this could be paid for, and maybe they're not disclosing. And that's not great, but I think that's just shows, you know, the industry is exploding so quickly.
Along those lines of ethics and regulations, advertisers also follow regulations under the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and these rules relate to advertising being truthful. How do these regulations then parlay to the world of social media influencers?
So the FTC does make it clear that you need to call out that you're working with a brand and that you're partnering with a brand. They don't necessarily call out exactly how you need to do that. So I think there is sort of a gray area. And I think some influencers will maybe decide not to disclose. And they could, you know, they could be penalized for it, and they could come, you know, under criticism by the FTC. So, you know, my stance is always, hey, disclose, always make it super clear to your followers. Most of the time, followers are actually really excited for you because they're your fan, and they're like, oh cool, you know, you're working with Target now, or oh cool, you're working with Nike now, I love watching your career and I'm so proud of you and so happy for you. So it's really not something that you should feel like you need to hide, and yeah, just more transparency is always better.
We're talking about the world of social media influencers with a marketing executive for influencers, Mae Karwowski here. Still time to talk about what you see out there, your questions about where the creator business goes from here. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mae Karwowski on the Ideas Network. Influencers rely on sponsored content to make a living. We're discussing the economy around social media influencers and where it's headed on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Working with brands on sponsored content is how many influencers earn an income. But how much money do influencers actually charge for these deals? What do you worry about in the messages and images as young people create this content? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Mae Karwowski is CEO and founder of a marketing firm focused on influencers with us for about 8 more minutes. Mae, we heard from Maddie in De Pere, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Maddie is wondering if you know whether political parties engage influencers in the same construct as we've been talking about with brands like Target and Converse and Ulta, and what you see there.
So yeah, that's a great question. And it seems like they definitely do. You know, I think there's a long tradition of working with celebrities, working with musicians, and having them come on the campaign trail with them. And this is really the kind of new digital version of that. I know that just with my company, we've had a number of PACs approach us from kind of
political action committees.
Right, exactly. From all ends of the spectrum, just looking to learn more and to see, hey, how could this work? Who could we work with? And so I think that that is important for voters to know that that's happening as well.
So do you see that space as a growing type of client for you?
You know, I think what's interesting about that is that things are pretty polarized right now. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of creators who are just like, hey, I don't want to be part of this conversation right now. And I don't potentially want to turn away any of my followers who, you know, potentially have just some different beliefs than I do. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely a real conversation we have with a lot of creators. Hey, we know, do you want to do this? But there are quite a few creators who are very outspoken and are really excited to tell their followers, hey, here's who I'm voting for and here's why. And here's why you should vote. Here's why you should turn out and why you should, you know, we should really care.
Social media has been criticized a lot for promoting only the best looking and most beautiful people who have perfect bodies, not real people. So how do influencer marketing fit into what some call a really harmful portrayal of body images and beauty?
So I think this is a really important conversation that definitely needs to be had with, you know, with young children and girls. And, you know, okay, you know, like, who are you seeing? What is influencing the way you feel about yourself? You know, I will say, though, that as someone who grew up as a kid in the 90s, you know, the portrayal of what a woman or what a man should look like on TV was extremely limited. You know, there were only a handful of actresses, and they all, you know, really looked quite similar, you know, white and very, you know, very petite, size zero. So I think there is some benefit to social media in really just showing a wide diversity of people. And, you know, people look very different, come in different shapes and sizes. And there are a lot of creators out there who have very large audiences who, you know, a casting director probably would never choose them to be the leading lady, but they're doing extremely well. And they have a ton of followers who love them and love the content they're creating. So while they're, you know, while there are real concerns, I think there's also just a real widening of, you know, acceptance of different ways people look.
Do you give any insights or help to creators who get backlash from followers or who can be really mean and really dog them on their posts?
Yeah, so the concept of trolling, so where there are followers or just people who don't follow them, who just like write nasty comments on different pieces of content, has something that's been around since the beginning of the internet. And especially when people can be basically anonymous online, there are definitely several tricks and like tips that we talk about. One is when you get big enough to really have someone else filter the content, you know, and the negative comments for you. Because even if you get, you know, 100 loving, caring, sweet, like super supportive comments, sometimes the negative, you know, the one or two negative ones really can stick with you and kind of, you know, dog at you. So we really say like, hey, either if you can not look at the comments and have someone else kind of filter through them for you, that's probably going to be the best thing for you long term.
Just try not to pay attention. Don't totally focus on them, but at the same time, they might also be a leading indicator of something that you really need to be aware about as you create and you shape this content.
That's totally true. And so I think that is, that there's a real difference between someone who's just nasty and like a troll and just going to say mean things to literally anyone on the internet. And then people who are actually have, you know, thoughtful criticism about your content. Mm-hmm. And you should be attuned to that. And you should be ready to say like, oh, cool, I didn't think that way. Or I didn't know that, or I need to educate myself more on that. And you see that with a number of, you know, younger influencers, younger creators on TikTok and on Instagram, who, you know, maybe they just don't have as many life experiences, and they haven't been, they haven't experienced or really been attuned to other things that are going on. And and they do need to learn, and they do, and that's part of them growing up. So I think that that can be really helpful as well.
We heard from Nancy in Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay. Nancy is wondering if influencers actually try out the products they're promoting. For instance, if an influencer is promoting laundry detergent, have they washed their clothes with it a number of times? Would they be able to answer consumer questions?
So that is actually extremely important. And we make sure that our influencers are like actively love the products that they're talking about whenever they do a partnership with a brand and us. You know, it's kind of a no questions asked. If you don't like this product, just do not post about it. You know, you don't even have to send it back. Just like, it's totally fine. We'd much rather that happen than for you to feel uncomfortable or to post something that you don't 100% stand behind. And I would actually say that the younger creators, are really Gen Z creators, are the ones who are actually asking very tough questions of brands, which has been really fascinating to see. We've actually had a few brands who, you know, we had their marketing and PR teams get on the phone, or, you know, get on a conference call with creators and talk to them about, hey, you know, we heard that this might not be a great place for, you know, for employees to work at. Can you answer these questions, or something similar? So we've actually found that a lot of creators, specifically younger ones, really take it seriously that, hey, I have a soapbox, and people really listen to me. So I need to really be well informed about the brands that I'm working with.
So as someone thinks about becoming an influencer or building in this space, what are some skills that they should really hone? Are there some skill building things that you would recommend?
Definitely. So I think a few things are, you know, one, really learning, you know, photography, videography, really learning storytelling too is very important, especially as video is now so, so important. You know, can you tell a story beginning, middle, and end? Can you have something that's entertaining or funny? And can that happen in 10 seconds, 20 seconds, or if you're doing longer form, you know, 20 minutes? That's pretty hard to do. And so, and, you know, it takes people, you know, decades or lifetimes to actually, like, you know, really hone that. So really learning more about, hey, how do I tell a great story? How do I keep people entertained or grab their attention? Those are going to be the biggest things. And then there's the business side, which I think that, you know, as you get bigger and you do amass that audience, and you post consistently and you learn what works and what doesn't, then there's the business side. Hey, am I diversifying enough? Are there other projects or other ways I could have my fans interact with me, that could help me grow my career? Is it time for me to get an agent? Is it time for me to get a team that can help support and, you know, carry the weight of all the content I'm creating? And so those are some of the things that I'd really think about.
May, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Kate.
May Karwowski is CEO and founder of the marketing platform called Obviously, which works exclusively with social media influencers. And earlier, we talked with Chelsea Knuth, a travel blogger and social media influencer who is based in Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.